from the cosmic legends of the universe,
Dave Damaschek.
Commission to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, podcasters. It's your old pal Dave Damaschek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66 in downtown Los Angeles, it just continues to be the most wonderful time of the year. I guess, actually, Jonah Carey, one of, show favorite here, pointed this out to me off the air the other day, that I think it's this Sunday, in fact, I'm pretty sure it's November 1st, there is slated to be, at least, and we'll see what happens with the rain in the Northeast to Major League Baseball, if they can keep up their end of the bargain with this, but for the first time ever, there is going to be NHL hockey, NBA basketball, Major League Baseball, and NFL football all being played on the same date on the calendar. Quite a thing, and like I say, it gives credence to the notion that it's the most wonderful time of the year. One of those things, and I didn't even mention that sport as I ran off those four professional ones, college football. Yesterday, a delightful conversation, as always, with the Blue Horseshoe from AccuScore and Ed Cunningham from ESPN College Football Coverage, Ron Franklin's partner, and always dynamite. We had a great thing, too. The Blue Horseshoe has his theme song. We finally, Ed Cunningham said he's never coming back on the show unless he got a theme song. Jeremy Lane, proud citizen of the Czech Republic, concocted a song for Ed Cunningham. It was that Georgia Satellite song. Do 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 do. Keep your hands to yourself. And apparently that was the song that Ed Cunningham had to sing when he was a rookie at Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. And so serendipity. See, it's a magical world, the Czech Republic. And speaking of theme songs, let's make our best bets of Saturday. And of course, we'll do our NFL picks tomorrow. Me and the Sass will put our heads together. Haven't talked to the Sass all week. It's been too long. But right now, let's talk college football. Best bets for NCAA college football with the Blue Horseshoe from AccuScore.com.
He's the Blue Horseshoe. He's the Blue Horseshoe. With his evil computers, he'll calculate who beats who. He's the Blue Horseshoe.
Shoe, we're going to get into it, but first, listen, you're a fine human being, but you're nothing without your credentials. Those credentials, AccuScore.com, the place with those evil computers. I say it every time. We're, what, a half dozen, 8 years away from them taking down mankind and taking over the world, as foretold by both the Terminator and the Matrix trilogies. But Terminator's not even a trilogy anymore. I think it's now whatever the number four version of a trilogy is. What is that, a core trilogy?
I'm not the guy to answer that.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, those evil computers over there at AccuScore.com concocting 10,000 simulations of every one of those sporting events that we talked about at the start of the show, though, show there, AccuScore.com, the place to go if you're looking for forecasts straight up or also against the point spread. If you're that sort of guy, I know the Blue Horseshoe is that sort of guy. What's going down, the shoe?
Hey, Dave, thank you for having me back. It seemed like we were just doing this yesterday.
Yeah, that's so true. And what about that Ed Cunningham song?
Oh,
spooky almost. We should get the people from Ripley on the phone to tell them about that one.
It is serendipitous.
Yes, well, I just said that word.
But I'm trying to think of another word that would match it. I think serendipitous is
coincidental.
I don't like coincidence.
It's not as magical. It's not as mystical.
Yeah, it's not mystical. Coincidences are for suckers.
Serendipity is not.
I like it's a fun word.
I thought you're
say.
A cynic.
I'm not a cynic.
You're not a cynic.
Not at all.
You certainly. I think your body of work on this podcast says otherwise.
I might be a hater, but I'm not a cynic.
Hey, the shoe. We're gonna make our best bets of the weekend real quick. Who did AccuScore have for the World Series?
I believe we have the New York Yankees.
You believe or you know?
No, we have the New York Yankees.
And is that just simply a matter of the bullpen?
It's a matter of the 162-game resume, the starting pitching, and the home field advantage.
All right. So, let's get into – and, there are different conversations I'd be interested in having about how the computers – the thing I've been saying, about the NFL, and I mentioned earlier, the Sass and I will go through our week 8 picks for NFL football tomorrow. But I it's interesting to me this NFL season, and I guess you could probably say this about most of them at this point, that if you were to go back and listen to what my reactions were and actually predictions were week by week, I would seem like a schizophrenic sort of dope of a guy, because, you know, 2 weeks ago the Giants were, you know, without question the best team in football, and 3-4 weeks ago the Ravens and the Jets were the best teams in the AFC, and so on and so forth, and Tom Brady, and everybody was jumping the gun on, well, that, you know, he's just not right, he's off the mark. And, you know, I can cherry pick the ones that I've said and have been pretty, have been good bets. But, you know, again, if you were to comment week after week, you would seem like a loon. How do the computers fare when it comes to NFL football?
We're having a pretty good year. Largely, we're having a good year, you know, against the number this year, because the bottom third of the league has never been as bad as it's been this year. And, you know, the lines that, you know, Vegas is putting out, 12.5-point spreads,
they're scary to most people. My old man and I pick a, you know, we're in a spread pool together, and we were looking at them, and you know, a guy like him gets spooked by that. You know, he's, oh, well, every number's huge. It's double digits, half the games, and
I
so
think
on.
People are scared of it because historically the NFL is it's supposed to, you know, the underdog has a good shot in the NFL. This year you had situations, or at least last week, if you took a look at, you know, the Chargers laying 5 at Kansas City, and then you had the Indianapolis spread, you know, just under 2 touchdowns, and New England spread, I think it was 14.5. And Vegas doesn't really want to put too much of a panic on, but those lines shouldn't have been what those lines are. So going into last week, our computer was over 57% against the number, which is pretty amazing considering that we do all the games. And, you know, I think last year we were in the high 52%. So we've seen, the player, including the AccuScore computer, is having a good year. What's frustrating for me is, for my NFL system, I'm basically taking, you know, the bookies and the sports books are just getting, killed, and I'm just taking a minimal part of the pot because I play very conservatively.
But you get in the car and you go out to Vegas so that you make sure it's done legally,
of course.
Always above the board, always with the shoe. It's a little bit. That's the biggest expense, is the gas or the plane flight from L.A. over to Vegas,
and the taxi cabs once I get there. But you know, I got a message over the weekend about like what my NFL picks are, and because I put my college football picks on this, you know, website, and I tweet throughout the day during College Football Saturday. But I play a very conservative strategy in the NFL. The NFL lines are usually so fair and so good that I do 13-point teasers. And it's a conservative approach designed just to bring back very little returns but make me money. And, last week I hit all my teasers. I had 2 teasers that came in the NFL that if I would have played them as parlays would have brought in 10-to-1 odds. But, you know, I don't get too much into that stuff. There's a reason why things are 10-to-1. I always like my bets to be in sync with the team's goals. So last week, for instance, I had New England -1. I had pick 'em with the Colts, and I had over underlines. You know, the over underline is a fantastic way to look at a game, and if you can tease that game up or down, I use the AccuScore computer. I use our over under tool.
I agree with that one. I love, the total in NFL games is a great one. I circled the Philly Redskins game, which was at 37, and I said, just knock that down to 27, and people said, what? The Redskins can't score. I said, all they need is a touchdown, and they're going to combine to get up over that total.
Yeah, I mean, the over-under lines are always going to be the most fair. Because they take into account for blowouts, and if the games are close, and if 2 teams do what they're supposed to do, and if there is a blowout, 1 team usually scores what would be the other person's other team's points. Last week in my teasers, I had the Raiders Jets over 21.5. I had Bengals over 28.5. I mean, these are lines that were settled in the first quarter. And if you ever like to make a bet, you should want to have a game over in the first quarter.
Well, and, as far as that goes, I mentioned this before, that my chums, like Cousin Sal from Jimmy Kimmel Live, who we have on the podcast from time to time, has pointed this out. The most enjoyable bet you can make is the over.
Yeah.
Always take the over, because then you're in it the whole game.
Well, right? I also think
for the majority of the game, you have something to root for. Points are good no matter who's scoring.
I also think the way you bet is very indicative of your personality. So if you're like me, I prefer to lay points rather than take points. it implies that I would rather invest than gamble. I'd rather make smart decisions than swing for the fences. I always think if you take overs, you're an optimist, and if you take unders, you're a cynic. Mm-hmm. I just don't like rooting for bad things to happen on every play. And
well,
I prefer to root for good things.
You know, as far as that goes, I'll quickly tell this this dumb, meaningless anecdote. But in No Country for Old Men, remember the scene when he goes in there, Anton Shigura, I think is was the character's name in that one, and you know the killer and
yeah.
The hired gun slash serial killer guy. He goes into the old man and flips a coin. Call it heads or tails. I've always said that if you say heads, you're an optimist, because heads is the natural choice. It's on top. It's the way to go. It's the obvious way to go. If you go with tails, then you're a contrarian.
I don't know what you're talking about, friendo.
All right, never mind. We'll just skip that and let's get into the college football games.
By the way, did the SAS tap out? Did 38% decide that he can't play anymore?
I know. By ignoring it, he seems to assume that it no longer exists.
Is he ruining people's lives on NFL picks now?
No, you're now at 5-0. I mean, you went 5-0 last week, which takes you to what on the season?
23-17, which is 57.5% against the spread, which is pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, so very nice. The shoe is doing nicely. Let's quickly get into mine, and I want to start out with the Notre Dame game, because citizen of the Czech Republic, Mike Martin, emails me quite a bit during college football season. He doesn't like the talk that you make about the Fighting Irish. He doesn't like the talk I make about the Fighting Irish. They're playing Wazoo this weekend, Washington State. The Irish, again, it's technically a home game, but it's in San Antonio. But really, when was the last time they left South Bend? I can't seem to remember it. They finally do, though. I'll tell you what.
They went to Purdue.
They went to Purdue. That's right. That was a road game for them. But boy, they rarely have to travel. This is a pretty, this ain't too bad to have to play, Washington State down in San Antonio. But it is a trip. And they're giving 27.5. And they've played, every game they've played has been close in what, the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, at least since that Michigan State game. Well, the week before that was Michigan, so that was a close one. So virtually every game, basically, it seems like comes down to the last possession or two. 27.5, a long trip, they haven't been traveling much. I'm taking Washington State. They're terrible, but obviously the Irish have shown no aptitude to blow anybody out, so I'm going with Washington State. How say you, Shu?
The AccuScore computer says Washington State getting 27 points. What is it, 27 in that game?
I've got it at 27.5.
All right, so I'm looking at we're giving it 59.7%
wow.
for Washington State to cover. Although, look, I would go the other way on that one. Largely because if you look at Notre Dame's statistical resume, they've had a lot of close games, games that, you know, should not have been close. They shouldn't be close with Boston College. They shouldn't have been close with several of their games. Washington State, I can't put into words just how bad they are.
I know they're bad, but what are you talking about? So what are you saying, that they should have beaten BC by much more than they did?
No, what I'm saying is that certain teams that could rise up and make give competitive games to Notre Dame, who have legitimate talent to do so, even though we don't think much of them as programs. Washington State is not among those teams. So you're gonna have
watched them. They're abysmal. This is based obviously much more on Notre Dame than it is.
I think that Notre Dame is due for a blowout, and they have type of players and a type of quarterback now and a opportunistic defense
mm-hmm.
that they could put a blowout on a team, and if they do it, Washington State is definitely that team. I'd stay away from it personally. I mean, what do I want to lay 4 touchdowns for? But 27.5, if I was you, I'd try to get it to 28 so you can get a push equity with 4 scores, because it's only 3 touchdowns you're losing.
I'll tell you what, the Pitt Panthers, we talked about them. I'm not going to indulge that in a week when they're not even playing a game. But after this bye week, Syracuse, which they should win, talk about being a pessimist. I am a pessimist. I'm not assuming a victory over them. It's not like they're a complete joke of a team.
I mean, you should assume a victory over Syracuse.
I will not do it, and you don't tell me what to do. But then Notre Dame comes to town, and that's going to be a
that's going to be a great game.
I'm really looking forward to
that. That's like old school football. It's going to be weather. It's going to be on grass. It's going to be two underachieving teams historically of the last 5 to 6 years. I don't know who I'm going to take in that game.
Hey, listen.
I'm going to let the number
decide. Let me say this. Let me put it into these terms. It could very well have a BCS, a ticket to the BCS series on the line.
Oh, undoubtedly, because, you know, remember, the Big 12 is out. You know, Big 12 is going to get their automatic bid, and they're not going to have an at-large team. And the Pac-10 is not going to have an at-large team this year. You know, whoever wins Oregon-USC this weekend will be in. So I think that whoever wins that game will go to a BCS game.
All right. So, again, now I apologize, and I appreciate you allowing me that indulgence. Now let's talk about the outdoor cocktail party, one of these games I've always wanted to go to. I said 2-3 years ago that I wanted to start an annual tradition where I go to one great college football game a year. I travel, and I still haven't gotten around to it. Maybe it's going to have to wait until Jean-Claude Van Damischek is a couple of years older, so until I can justify leaving he and his sister behind, and mama for that matter. But this is one I would love to attend. The Gators are giving 15. Georgia, you know, it seems like I feel like I say this about them around this time of the year. Underachieving, I think, again, you call them a little underachieving. The Gators, are about due to put a pasting on a semi-legitimate team like Georgia. I say the Gators win by three touchdowns in this one. They cover that 15.
Yeah, 57.5% on the AccuScore simulations against the number supports what you're saying. You know, Joe Cox down there, you know, started out well. The shootout with South Carolina was a lot of fun. And ever since, you know, then they've just taken continual step backs. And I don't care who you are. If Jonathan Crompton owns you, then you are an underachieving football team. And Georgia got owned by Tennessee. You know, at what point are you going to ask yourself with Florida, are they going to start stepping it up? Because I watched them.
That's exactly right.
I watched them last week, and, you know, they really missed Percy Harvin, and they really missed Lewis Murphy. And I don't know if that team is designed to blow people out, but, you know, I don't think that the Georgia-Florida game, for as great of a rivalry as it is, has not been close in a long time.
Well, and yeah, and we exactly, and we talked about yesterday with Ed Cunningham about the idea that, you know, margin of victory doesn't count. But as you said, there's got to be among Urban Meyer and the coaching staff some sort of a conversation as we move into November here. All right, fellas, time to take it into another gear here. We have to start really asserting ourselves.
Margin of victory might not count with the computers.
With the computers, right.
But it certainly counts with the humans, and it certainly counts in recruiting. And remember, Urban Meyer is the same guy last year who called timeout with 30 seconds left against Miami, up 20 points on a spread that was 21.5 to kick a field goal to make the to beat the number. Randy Shannon wouldn't shake his hand after that game.
If you don't nor think, should he have.
Yeah, creeped. You know. So if you don't think Florida's going in there looking to, you know, score in the fourth quarter, and look, they're not going to call Florida's offense in the fourth quarter in a blowout's no different than their offense in the first quarter. They're still putting in athletes that want to score who are just are so good, and they're still running that, you know, zone read. So yeah, I do like Florida in that game. I think, and you're supported by the computer there.
All right, next, the team that is currently third in the BCS, Texas Longhorns, giving 9 at Oklahoma State. A lot of excitement around them after they knocked off Georgia to start the season. And, again, you know, a nice season again, you know, the same logic applies with Texas as does Florida. They've got two teams ahead of them right now. Time for them to start pasting some teams. Texas -9 in Stillwater.
I don't like that one at all.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma State is, you know, every year there's a team that gets punished for a loss that the pollsters don't think should have happened. And they get punished the whole year, and there's nothing they can do about it. Last year it was USC against Oregon State. They had played a bad half, and no matter what USC did the rest of the year, nothing was going to make people forget that. And it seems like Oklahoma State's wearing that hat this year, that they lost to Houston at home. Remember, Houston converted a 4th and 5 from the goal line that was deflected in the air. It was a lucky play. And that was what put them ahead. Then Oklahoma State, you know, gave up a garbage time, you know, fumble for a touchdown. And Houston is a very, very good football team, and they're worthy of where they are ranking. If you take a look at what's happened since Kendall Hunter and Dez Bryant has left Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State scored 36, 33, and 34 points, albeit it's against the, you know, a bad A&M, you know, the same old Missouri team as every year in Baylor, that's not going to do anything. But this is an offense that scores, and also the Bill Young defense, their defensive coordinator this year, I like him. Historically, Texas has never played well in Stillwater. Not when Vince Young was there. Oklahoma State played Texas down to the last minute last year. I don't think Oklahoma State will win the game. I just don't think that they can beat Texas, and I think Texas is good enough to win and trust that they're going to win. But to lay two scores in this game, I wouldn't do it.
All right, so you're taking the middle on that one. I'll stick with Texas because I already said them, and I'm not going to be that wishy-washy. But USC, Oregon, huge game for the reasons that we've touched on already. And USC given 3 on the road. I get it about the crazy atmosphere. It's going to be at night. What that's worth. Oregon has had a great run since losing to Boise State. Cunningham threw out the name Chip Kelly for Coach of the Year if they can pull this win off. You know what, though? Pete Carroll, again, big game coach. I get why they lose these games because the stage isn't that. It's all about the ability to relax. They don't get tight for these games. They're loose for these games, and the other team is the one that comes out a little bit tight. So they don't get they don't have that same frame of mind when they go into the Washington game or against Oregon State last year. But a game like this, they are going to show up for. I say. And by the way, it opened up at 4.5, so by that logic, you're getting it at a steal at 3. I say take the Trojans on the road.
All right, well, are those all your picks?
Well, I got one more for you. I'll give you...
All right, because I actually took that game, too.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let you do your whole picks first.
All right, well, let me just say West Virginia and South Florida. South Florida skidding. West Virginia now moving up the rankings there a little bit. South Florida looked great for a while there. Now they're starting to get beaten around a little bit. They got obliterated at Pitt last week. I say let's take the Mountaineers minus the 3 on the road.
You're going to go broke, or at least I have gone broke on betting on Bill Stewart. The mayor kills me. I hate the mayor. Mm-hmm. I hate that they turn over the ball and they can't defend the pass. Now, the quarterback at South Florida, he's fantastic. Like, you know, the five-star high school athlete, mm-hmm. the guy you go to see. And it doesn't always translate in the game.
He can sling it, yeah.
He can sling it and he can run it. He doesn't like to go down. He likes to make plays. I hate Bill Stewart, and I hate West Virginia.
Well, not
but
a fan
get,
of them, believe me. I spent at least one Saturday, I spent one Saturday every other year, I guess, going to Pitt Stadium and watching
the
people drive up make that drive from West Virginia an hour away, and boy, it was scary. I mean, we would really sit in the stands and my parents would say, You like to point fingers and make number one at the other team. You don't do that when West Virginia's in town. They were a scary group.
Yeah, I will say this about Bill Stewart. What they did last week when they hosted Connecticut was very classy. And I thought the way they gave tribute to their team and Jasper Howard,
that was great.
I give him a lot of credit there. Now, when it comes to coaching football, I'm not a Bill Stewart fan. You're going to get 56.5%.
That's a tough situation to go in there and win a game.
Look, it was great. I mean, they did their best to try to lose it too. you know, they really try to do their best to lose it. You're going to get 56.5% laying the 3 points with West Virginia.
All right. So those are my picks. You don't have to love them. I'm not asking if you like them or not.
I'm giving is some analysis to your picks.
So be it. You went 5-0 last week. You're beating me on the season. So I guess your word should be more trustworthy than my own. All right. Let's hear what you have to say, Shu.
All right. Again, this is the point of the year where you are going to start seeing some AccuScore trend plays. And I have two picks this week that are pure AccuScore trend plays. I'm going to start.
Meaning what?
Meaning that AccuScore picks every game, and the computer has an opinion on every game. If you analyze AccuScore's record with teams involved in situations like how we do with the ACC or ACC out of conference, or in certain splits, for instance, how we do when the betting line is on an over/under is between 47 and 54.5 points, you know, we can we have those numbers. So some trend plays that I want to mention right now is, and these are not going to be my picks, but I do want to put them out there. You're going to get, we like the under in Central Michigan and Boston College, the under 51.5. You're going to get a very modest number against the spread, but on the AccuScore simulation, we're only 50% in our picks where ACC plays out of conference and over-unders, but we're 23-15 when the MAC plays out of conference. We're 96-82 when the spread is between 47 and 54.5 over-under. And the our line is at 51 even. So when we differ by a half point from the Vegas number, we're 59% this year. So we do like Central Michigan and Boston College to go under 51.5. The other one is a really weird pick because otherwise I would have gone the other way. But we like Vanderbilt plus an 11.5 against Georgia Tech. We're 5-1 in our against the spread picks in Vanderbilt games. We're 5-2 in our picks with Georgia Tech. So that being said, these two teams play towards the AccuScore simulations with a 10-3 record. And when the ACC plays a non-ACC team, we're 17-8 against the spread. So we like Vanderbilt plus 11.5. Me personally, I won't touch that game. If I do, I might tease it and try to get Georgia Tech straight up because I do think they're going to win. So my official picks of the week is I'm going to start with Nebraska minus 13 against Baylor. Yeah, Nebraska embarrassed themselves last week against Iowa State.
Yeah, it's a stinker bowl.
But remember, when they fumbled or had four turnovers inside the five-yard line. All right, so that statistically has to correct itself. And if they can get down to the five-yard line, all they had to do was convert one of those four turnovers into a touchdown. They win that game. Baylor is god-awful. They showed it last week against Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. You know, that game was over in the first quarter. I like Nebraska to not screw it up as badly as they did last week. I'll lay 13 points. Cal is a team that 2 weeks in a row I've picked. You're only going to have to lay 6.5 points on the road against Arizona State. Arizona State proved to be not that good last week against Stanford. AccuScore is 14-7 in games in Pac-10 games this year against the spread, and we're 8-4 in games involving these two teams. So I do like Cal only laying 6.5 in that one. Another one, which I was debating, as a matter of fact, I look at this one, I'm just going to throw it out because I will not pick Missouri. I was going to take Missouri minus 3.5 against Colorado.
I remember how this year started with you saying how abysmal they were going to be.
Look, I mean, Missouri started out very well and then once again resumed the role of being Missouri when they play good teams, which is a doormat. So
That was the miscalculation that Zook's boys were going to be as bad as they ended
up. Yeah, I didn't realize that, but I also thought, I mean, look, Missouri is one of they're like a little bully team. You know, they bully these little programs, you know, these Eastern Illinois, and then they play, you know, the Texases and the Oklahomas of the world, and they just take it. You know, they just do what, you know, yes, sir, Texas, whatever you need, Texas. You want to score another touchdown, Texas? Go ahead. You want us to not guard you, Jordan Shipley? Deal. You know, I mean, how do you not guard Jordan Shipley, by the way? I mean, he's the best wide receiver in the Big 12. All right, my second to last pick is Michigan State laying 3.5 at Minnesota. Minnesota gives teams good fights, but they lost their best receiver, Eric Decker, who I think is going to be a good pro. Michigan State.
He's swell. Yeah. He's a lot of fun to watch. A lot of Minnesota Gophers football on ESPN this year for some reason.
Yeah, well, they have that beautiful new stadium.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason for it. But yeah, it seems like more often than not we've gotten Minnesota Gophers football when Big Ten coverage goes on.
And if I ever think that a team could build off a loss, I think Michigan State could build off the loss from last week. I mean, they played great. And, I mean, you don't really need a whole heck of a lot. 3.5 points, again, it's more than one possession. But I don't really see how Minnesota's going to be able to score some points. My last pick is I'm going to go against you in the USC-Oregon game. I like Oregon plus the points. You know, we talked extensively with Cunningham about, you know, why we like Oregon and why I don't, you know, think Matt Barkley is worthy of all the praise yet. The AccuScore computer is 54% with Oregon getting the 3 points. We're 14-7, 14-7 in Pac-10 games this year. And I take a look at this. You know, if you took a look at the only team to stop Oregon this year was Oregon. I mean, I don't give Boise State as much credit for shutting down that Oregon offense in week one so much as I had that they just weren't ready to play. If you take a look at Oregon's last, you know, games, or since then, 38 against Purdue, 31 against Utah, 42 against Cal, 52 against Wazoo, 24 against UCLA, and 43 against Washington. And what that shows me is that they are getting value on possessions, and that this is a team that is now in sync. And if Oregon State, you know, was able to move against USC, and Jimmy Clausen in the second half was able to move against USC, I don't discount that USC won't come to play. I'm saying even with USC coming to play, I think Oregon is peaking at the right time. I'll take 3 points at home at night with the better quarterback.
And it really does have to, well, that's what it will be determined. I agree with you that that really, I mean, it's a, such a easy thing to say, but it really is about the quarterbacks. If Masoli does, has a good game, then they will win. I'll shift on that, but, I go back to Pete Carroll, you know, I always say if I were a 17-year-old, that, how could you go anywhere else? He has such a relaxed environment.
Well, I love
playing
Pete,
big games.
I love Pete Carroll, and you know, us in a Sooner Nation, whenever it goes bad and we play a good team and we lose a big game, we always talk about USC, how they never lose big games and they always go into these places. I'd like to know which one hurts worse, consistently losing the big game or consistently losing the nothing game.
Wow, that's
because I'll tell you, we're both in the hospital with wrapped up wrists.
In college football, yeah, in college football, that's pretty bad. That's a great debate to have. We'll have it at another time, the horseshoe. Good stuff with your picks. We'll see how you do. We'll see how I do. We'll see how the SAS does in the ed. You can track those at 710ESPN.com, the Damashek homepage, and the shoe. We'll look forward to yapping with you again next week, and we'll do our NFL picks tomorrow. But in the meantime, thanks so much, podcasters. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Damashek, Damashek, loves Lemieux, hates Belichick, spins a yarn any size, blasts those jerks just like flies. Look out, here comes Dave Damashek. Is he fast? Not a bit, but he makes up for it with tons of grit. If he's wrong, what's he do? Says he's wrong like Corvette taught him to. Hey there! There goes Dave Damashek. Cool Cats spelled with K's is his fantasy team. When they hit the field, Bill Simmons starts to cry. Damashek, Damashek, his best friend is his TV set. Steelers fan since days of old, instead of red bleeds black and gold. Look out! It's Dave Damashek!